good. Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter number 31. Psalm chapter number 31. This is lesson number 31. We've been talking about growing in the Lord. Growing in the Lord. Psalm chapter 31, once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 19. All these many, many weeks talking about how to grow. Psalm 31, verse 19. And stand with me, if you will, please. Psalm chapter 31, I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently, starting with verse number 19 of Psalm 31. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, verse number 24 is the text verse. The last part of that verse, it says, all ye that hope in the Lord. Tonight, we're going to talk about the subject of growing in the area of hope. Hope, the hope that is in the Christian life. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help me to put my mind into the sermon as it deserves, like you deserve. Help everyone to concentrate on what's said. Put away the cares and the concerns of that which takes place outside this building. Might our hearts, our spirits, and our minds be subject and in submission to you. Holy Spirit of God, protect us. Help me tonight to teach this properly, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. The growing of our hope. Let me read a couple of verses to you. In Psalm chapter 31, verse 24, it said, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That word hope is not a real big word. It's only four letters long, but boy, is it a massive word in our need in life. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Again, we see that precious word, hope. Again, I'll read to you from Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I love this description. Our God is called the God of hope. I've heard him called a lot of things, God of the universe, but here it says he's the God of hope. Well, I'm glad he's the God of hope. And I have known him personally since I was a 16-year-old boy. And that definition is fantastic. He is a God of hope. People in life sometimes don't give you hope. The government sometimes won't give you hope. The economy won't always give you hope. But I'll tell you what, God is the God of hope. And I'm glad of that. There have been times when I needed that hope. And I'm glad God was there to help provide it. And that verse in Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Let me remind you of this. You know, when hope has its proper place in your heart, there is joy and there is peace. And that's what it told us. And then it said that ye may abound in hope. Have you ever met people that abound in hope? You ever met someone that they just keep giving hope? They just keep believing. Here it talks about abounding in hope. That means there's hope and it's overflowing. You know, there has to be somebody that when you don't think it can be done, they do. Has to be somebody like that. Many, many times we've all come to the end of our rope. Thank God there was somebody else around that had a longer rope than we did. You know, there was someone that while we were down, they said, oh, don't give up. There's hope. There's hope. Our hope ought to grow. Now, you've heard me use the definition of hope before. Let me again remind you, what is hope? What does the Bible teach hope is? Now, hope comes from a word that actually means it is hope is a positive expectation. In other words, you can expect something positive is still yet to come. Hope, what is it? It is to anticipate with pleasure something good that is yet coming. Hope is a belief that God is not finished and there is good yet to come. And folks, with God, there's always hope. There's always good yet to come. As long as God's alive, and by the way, the Bible teaches God can't die. So as long as God's alive, there is hope. And what is hope? Hope is a belief that there is good yet to come. There is a tomorrow, and it holds great things for us. There's hope for us. Have faith, because there's hope. There's always hope. I know I've told this story in this pulpit, but it's worth telling again, because I like to hear it. There were some boys out playing a pickup game of baseball one day. There's a little fella, he was all the way out in the center field, and he was out there popping his glove, you know, saying, come on, hit that ball to me, hit that ball to me. A man was walking, it was near the home run fence, a man was walking out there and seen that little boy, he was all down and ready to play ball. Come on, batter, 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 come on, swing that bat, and that boy was popping his glove. So the man that was walking out there stopped and started a conversation with the center fielder. The man said, son, how's the game going? The boy said, oh, sir, it's going really well. This game's going really well. The man said, what's the score? The little boy said, it's 100-0. It's 100-0. And the man said, 100-0? Who's ahead? The boy said, they are. They're ahead. He said, I thought you said it was going well. He said, it's going well, mister, going well. He said, yes, but it's 100-0. He said, mister, we just ain't got our bats yet. Meaning, we've not been up to bat yet. That's hope. That's hope. And that little fella had a pretty good attitude about all of that. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be times in life when you're going to feel like you're behind 100-0. As long as God's alive, you still have a chance to get up and bat. Everybody needs somebody. And including God, we need God, but we need people that help us with this thing of hope. For someone, it's just the right kind of a handshake. For some, it's an encouragement that's needed. Sometimes hope is given by the way we praise someone. Sometimes it's a slap on the back. Somebody just needs to hear the words, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Positive words about a positive future. People need that. We live in a bit of a hopeless world. Let me tell you something. You watch the news too much, you'll be depressed. Everywhere you got people saying it can't be done. It's negative. It's negative. It's negative. It's negative. Don't eat this. It'll give you cancer. Don't eat that. It'll give you cancer. Don't drink this. It'll give you cancer. Don't drink water. It'll give you cancer. Don't breathe air. It'll give you cancer. I mean, the negatives of life. We need hope. We need hope in the Christian life. A story that I love to tell, and again, it kind of describes hope. A field that had been, many states had faced a drought, and there was no rain, and it was dry, and the crops were failing, and the ground was cracking because it was so dry, and there'd been no rain. The pastor of the local Baptist church called a prayer meeting, and at that prayer meeting, he said, I want everybody to bring with you to the prayer meeting some type of an object of hope. Bring something. We're all going to meet down in the churchyard, and we're going to pray that God would just help us to get rain, and we're going to have a prayer meeting, and you bring something that causes you to have hope. And so the pastor showed up, and there were all sorts of people that came, and they were out in front of the church, and he looked over, and there was a sweet lady that had her songbook. And she had that songbook because somehow the songs in the hymn book gave her hope. looked over and seen another was carrying a little cross that they'd brought from home, just a little ceramic cross like you might buy at a dollar store or something. They were hanging on to that cross. And then yet another had their Bible, and they were holding on to their Bible. And the pastor said, well, we're going to have this prayer meeting, and we're just going to pray that somehow we get rain. It is this drought. It's killing our crops, and there's not water, and we've got to have water. So they had about a two-hour prayer meeting. Right toward the end of the prayer meeting, it began to sprinkle. And the person that had the greatest faith was a little seven-year-old boy, because he pulled out an umbrella and put it up. It was his object of hope. He believed that it was going to rain and he was going to need that umbrella. That song, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." You know, it says, "There shall be showers of blessing." That's in the future. Now, I've been through enough in life to know that when it seems like there's a drought in your life, when it seems like you're about to dry up, God has a way of bringing that shower eventually. And everybody here, if you're going through a dry spot in life, if you would look back, you'll remember God has spared you and God has seen you through more than one drought in life. Now, right now, you might feel like, oh, it's never going to rain on me again, the showers of blessing. Well, you've said that before, too. But God has a way of coming through. So don't forget, what is hope? Hope is a positive expectation. What is hope? Hope is a belief that as long as God's alive, there is good yet to come. There's something out there on the horizon that God has for us. And so, then, let me make a statement to you that you may need so that your hope might grow. You know, there is no problem so big that God can't solve it. Always remember that. No problem so big that God can't solve it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." That is a verse on hope. God's ability to do exceeds your ability to desire. Whatever it is that needs to be done, there's one that can handle it, and that's God. Now, listen, what's your problem? What's your need? Well, there's no problem so big that God can't solve it. Now, God doesn't always solve the problem the way you want it solved. And he doesn't always solve it when you want it solved. But God will attend to whatever the need is. So there's no problem so big that God can't solve it. Remember, what is hope? Hope is the belief that there is good yet to come. Then, there's no problem, there's no need so big that God can't meet it or solve it. Now, man becomes hopeless just because I think man is weak man. Man can't see how certain problems can be solved. But let me tell you something, God can see everything. I mean, we are virtually, spiritually limited in how far we can see. We don't see clearly sometimes. But folks, God can always see. God is not limited in what he sees. You and I, we can't see past today. And probably a good thing sometimes. Oh, but God can. God can see. God, did you know that God is not up in heaven tonight worrying himself into an ulcer over that situation that you're worrying yourself into an ulcer about? God's not up there biting his fingernails off all the way down to the skin. Oh, I'm just so fearful. God's not like that. And he's the God of hope. In counseling, I've asked this question to many, many people. I'll say, can God solve your problem? You know, I've never had anybody say to me, no, God can't. What happens is we can't. We get to thinking, oh, I guess that's it. Well, what about God? Is there not a God? Have you become an atheist because you suddenly face something that you can't handle? I'd say there's a lot of pride in that. Well, I mean, let's face something. God always has been there, and we want to say, oh, I believe in God. Well, we believe in God as long as we can handle the problem. But the minute you face something you can't handle, and it really does take faith in God, then we're ready to put our tail between our legs and run and forget about the God that we said was there. There's no problem so big that God can't solve it. With every adversity that you face, there is the potential of a victory if you'll keep your faith and you'll have hope in what God can do. Ask Moses about the parting of the Red Sea. Sunday night I preached a sermon here in our church called What to Do When You Face the Impossible. We seen story after story after story of people that faced the impossible. I think Moses was faced with a problem when they came to the Red Sea with the enemy chasing behind them. It was a problem, and it took hope to believe that there was something good yet to come. And you know, it turned out okay. It turned out okay. You say, well, Brother Owens, you must not know how great of a problem I face. I would say to you, you must not know how great of a God I have. It does not matter how big the problem. It is not something that God could not handle. There's a song in our songbook. I wish it were more popular. It was written by Dr. John R. Rice. The words are, is there anything too hard for God to do? Is there aught beyond His power? He commanded us to open wide our mouths. We should ask our needs this hour. We should ask and seek, keep knocking at the door at Jesus' feet. We have not our needs because we do not plead with Jesus. That is a song of hope. That song is written to say you have a need. Keep your hope. Believe that God is on the way. The Calvary's coming. God has not forgotten you. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. Hope is a positive expectation. Hope is the belief that it might not be going good today, but tomorrow is a new day. And if it's not going well tomorrow, the next day will be the day when my spiritual ship comes in. And there's no problem so big that God can't solve it. Now here's the problem. We forget that. We all agree with that. Don't we all? We all believe that. We believe there's good out there and God still has good for us. And we all believe there's no problem so big that God can't solve it. But boy, when you're in the midst of the battle and you've got, when the walls are falling in on you and you're saying, oh my, which way to turn? Hey, you say, I don't know which way to turn. Well, if nothing else, just look up. Just look up, because God is still alive. He is the God of hope. Thirdly, may I say to you that people sleep better when they have hope. People sleep better when they have hope. Listen to this verse. Psalm 16:9 says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also rests in hope. I believe you sleep better when you have hope. You know, some sleeplessness is caused by hopelessness. Sleep is necessary for good health. And if you're not sleeping well, hey, and be careful. If you'll get yourself to the point where you're in despair and you don't think that there's good on the horizon, you'll have yourself a mess both emotionally and you'll have yourself a mess spiritually. You ever hear good news and need it so you can finally get a good night's rest? Hey, when you're having a bad week, when there's just a little pop of sunshine that comes into it, it sure can help. And folks, it's very important. If you don't sleep right, then your emotions are not going to be at their best. And for some of you, you need to get this faith and the hope that we have in our God so you'll sleep right. You know, when we lay our head on our pillow, what you need to do is you need to remind yourself. There's a verse in the Bible that says His mercies are new every morning. I hope I can be real with you. But yeah, there have been times that I've faced things that have devastated me and broken my heart. You know, I went to sleep with a broken heart, just wondering how I was going to make it through another day. Somehow in the night, God just gave me a reprieve. I woke up the next morning. I felt better about that thing. I had a little more faith about the issue that I must face. Let me tell you, hope will help you. It'll help you physically. It's going to help you to sleep better. Matter of fact, I've got to be giving hope right now because I've got some people falling asleep right now. And so thank God for church. What is hope? Hope is a positive expectation that there is yet good to come. Hey, and remember, there's no problem so big that God can't solve it. And little hope is going to help you to rest better. It gives you a little peace while you go to sleep. It'll rejuvenate your spirit and make you stronger. Hey, I believe that giving hope is a way to tell people and show people that you love them. First of all, I happen to believe God loves us. That's why He gives us hope. He is the great God of hope. Oh, by the way, at the same time, He's the great God of love. Isn't it amazing? God gives you and I hope because God loves us. Hey, folks, you and I, the people that you love, you give them hope. You give them hope. I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity bondeth not itself, is not puffed up. Now, that's verse 4. A couple verses later, it says this. Now, the word charity there is the word love. It says, speaking of charity, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. If you love people, you're going to give them hope. And by the way, we're supposed to love people. You're to love people. You're to give hope. We're to be hope givers. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is known as the chapter of love. And so, giving hope is an expression of love. Hope is seen as a part of love, and it can be an expression of that love. God gives hope because He loves us. Satan is the hope stealer. Satan takes our hope. Why? He hates you. He hates God. If you're the kind of person that takes hope from people, you've got some hatefulness in you somewhere. Why would anybody in the human race want to take hope away from another? Why would anybody be like that? We're commanded to love people. And if you want to love, you give hope. And might I remind you, don't let Satan steal your hope. He has a way of getting in our head, getting in our life, convincing us, oh, it's all over. There's never going to be something good come in your life again. That's a lie. Satan is a hope stealer. He does not love you. The people that love you will give you hope. I believe that preachers should always have an element of hope in every message. I believe in preaching on sin, but remind the people of the hope and the forgiveness and reconciliation that's available. I think preachers ought to get up and throw an ever-loving fit and talk about how bad sin is. I think they ought to do that. But let me tell you something. I don't think you ought to ever leave the sinner hanging to where they don't have any hope. You say, well, what do? Throw a fit about that sin and then tell them God loves them and God wants them to come back to Him and God will forgive them and God will rebuild them. That's what God does. God is a hope giver. I believe preachers are to have hope even in the harshest of situation or in their sermons. Never leave anybody hanging in despair. Always leave them with hope or love. Hey, when you discipline people or you correct people, it should be done with an element of hope involved. Parents, I think we are to correct our children. And the Bible makes it very clear, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We're to correct our children. And it's to be done. But let me tell you, always keep hope in that relationship with that child. If you're a teacher or you're a leader, when correction is necessary, if you're a boss, I am for correction. There's nothing wrong with telling the difference between right and wrong. I am not afraid to tell people the difference between right and wrong. I'm not afraid to tell people when they're doing wrong. But there's something I always tag on to it. I always want to remind them that I love them and that God will forgive them for that wrong. And God has a way of rebuilding their life. And they can be, they can do something good. And God has something good on the horizon for them. I believe this. I believe that we should never let any relationship be void of hope. No relationship be void of hope. Hope is an expression of love. So, what have we said so far? I said this. Hope is the positive expectation that good is yet to come. I then said, there is no problem so big that God can't solve it. That's what hope is. I said, we sleep better when we have a little bit of hope. It just somehow helps us when we have that hope, that belief that there's some good coming. And then as a result of it, we sleep better and we get better control of our emotions and there's even more hope available. I said number 4, giving hope to someone is an expression of love. Taking hope is taking away love. Giving hope is giving love. Number 5, ask yourself this question. Are you a hope giver or a hope taker? Parents, are you giving hope to your children? Or are you robbing them of the hope that they need? Sunday school teacher, when you teach your class, are you a hope giver? Or are you taking hope? Employers, are you giving hope to your employees? Or are you taking hope from them? Leader, are you a hope giver? Or are you a hope taker? Husband, do you give hope to your wife? Or do you take hope from your wife? Counselor, do you give hope to the counseled? Or do you rob them of hope? Preacher, do you give hope to your people? Or do you take hope from your people? Soul winner, are you giving hope to the lost? Or are you not telling anybody about Jesus, therefore withholding hope from the lost? Friend, do you give hope to your friend? Boy, there's nothing like having a friend that's a hope giver. Sure is nice when there's somebody that can give you hope. About 4 days ago, my phone rang. Pastor friend called. I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I just needed to hear your voice." He said, "I think everything's going to be okay." I said, "Well, it's going to be okay before you heard my voice." He said, "I know, but I just needed to hear your voice for a moment." Folks, it ought to be that people know that you're a hope giver. Be a hope giver. Are you a doom and gloomer? There are some people you don't dare ask them how it's going. They'll take the next 50 minutes and ruin your day. Everything's falling apart. Everything is negative. Everything's bad. There's no hope. Why, sure there's hope. You're still alive. There's still a God. The Bible's still true. The Holy Spirit still lives within us. And there's some people, it's just negative, 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 negative all the time. Listen to me, folks. We ought to be hope givers. And I'm not talking about an absence of reality. Yes, I do indeed know what a mess we have in America. Sure, I do. But I'll tell you what, this is still our country, and we still get to come to church. There are a lot of good things going on around us. We need hope givers. Are you a hope giver or taker? Hey, children, you give your parents hope? You know, some kids can get so rebellious and so spiteful toward their parents just virtually, they have hope retracted from them. Parents just says they just give me no hope that they're going to try to straighten out their life. They give me no hope that they're going to do the right thing. To everybody in here, every wife ought to give her husband hope, and every husband ought to give his wife hope, and every child ought to give parents hope, and parents ought to give children hope, and the people in the church ought to give one another hope. We shouldn't be looking at the negative side of things, but looking at the positive side of things. And look, if your cup's only got a half a glass of water, why don't you look at it and say it's half full instead of half empty? Why don't you look at what you have in life instead of griping about what you don't have? I'm telling you, you and I, we ought to be people of hope. People of hope. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. See, heartbreak is often the result of hopelessness. You're hoping for something and it's put away from you. It's distanced from you. It's heavy on your heart. People need hope. Are you a hope giver? You ought to be a hope giver. Let me give you another point and see if I can teach this and we'll be done. The Bible teaches that experience gives or grows your hope. Experience. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Here the Bible's telling us that experience produces hope. Folks, we are most hopeless in areas where we have no or very little experience. Something happens to you you've never experienced before, so you immediately become hopeless. "Well, there's no solution." No, relax. There's a solution. "Well, I don't know the solution." Did you know there's somebody smarter than you? "Well, I don't know the solution. It's all going to fall apart." Lots of people have been through that. I faced it. He faced it. She faced it. They faced it. You've never experienced it, so your hope gas gauge is low, but somebody else that's experienced it, they have a lot of fuel in there on how to produce hope and get to the solution. We are most hopeless in areas where we have no or little experience. When we face hardship in an area where we've never faced hardship before, hopelessness somehow occurs. Listen, there are things that when I was going through them, I was a bit hopeless. But I called my dad. I said, "Oh, Dad." And he said, "It'll be okay." "How can you say that?" And he said, "I've been through that. It'll be okay." "Okay, Dad. Maybe I can sleep tonight." And I did. And on more than one occasion, I've been through something, and because I'd never experienced it, my immediate, and by the way, my fleshly, carnal reaction was hopelessness. Because I'd never experienced it. But if I talked to the right person who had experienced it, they could put me at ease. Brother Steed is a good mechanic. There's somebody in here, if something happened to your car, you could freak out and say, my car is ruined, it's gone forever. You could go see Brother Steed and he would say, "Relax, it's okay." And you'd say, "Well, what is it?" He'd say, we can handle it, it's not a big deal. We're going to be able to fix it. And then you could relax. Why? His experience brought hope to your hopeless situation. Which means this, we're a little immature in the hope area sometimes, huh? There are times when the answer's right there, but we're acting like there is no answer. Positive is just around the corner. But because we can't see it, we have a hard time believing it. Well, do you know what faith is? Faith is believing what's out there, not always being able to see it. I remember speaking to my mother once, and I'd had a heartache in life. And I went to my mom and I said, "Mom, you know, this is happening." And I was crying. I was heartbroken. And she said this. She said, "Son, God never takes anything from you without replacing it with something better." And I thought, I like that. So if God has taken something from me, he's going to give me better. Well, he took hell, gave me heaven. He took the rags of this life and gave me a robe that I'll have in heaven. Pretty good exchange. He took away lust, and he built a love in my life. Look, if God took it, he's got something better in mind. That's hope. Well, I can't tell you how many times in life I've quoted my mom. I'd say to people, "Look, if God took it, God doesn't take something and give you something worse. God's not like that." Now, your next door neighbor might be like that. Somebody on Craigslist will treat you that way. But God won't treat you that way. Hey, you older Christians, do you know something? You're expected to be hope givers. You know, when I look, you know, and when I say older Christians, I'm not talking about your age, because there could be somebody here that's 60 that's only been saved for 2 years. Somebody else that's 40 that's been saved for 25 years, you're the older Christian, obviously. Those of you that have been around the most ought to be the greatest hope givers, because you've seen more. You've been through more. When the young Christian panics and becomes hopeless, the older Christian is to be the one that provides the stability that said, "God's still alive. This isn't so big that God can't solve it. If God's taken something from you, he's going to replace it with something better." It shouldn't be the younger Christian having greater hope than the older Christian. And let me tell you this, folks. That means this. You got to go through some hardship if you plan to be a hope giver someday. You say, and some people don't care about this. All you do care about is you. But I'll tell you, if some of you, if you'd like to learn to love outside your own little circle of you, you'll have to go through some things. Why? If you want to love some people and make an influence in this life, then you're going to have to go through some things that will mature your hope. Remember, we are hopeless in areas of minimal or no experience. So you go through some things, you are developing an experience that produces a hope that somebody else needs. And I'll say to everybody in here, hey, to those of you, you young people, teenagers, unmarried young adults, you're going to have kids someday. You're going to have a husband. You're going to have a wife someday. You're going to hope that you've got enough grit to make it through some things. You're going to have to, someday you're going to have to give your child hope. Someday you're going to have to give somebody you love hope. So you better make it through your difficulties and look right this way. And if you're playing with telephones or something, don't do that during my church service. We are to be hope givers. Don't worry, folks. There's good yet to come. But hope givers have experienced hardship. And hope givers take that hardship. They grow because of that hardship. And it'll help them. But I'm going to tell you something. Really, this isn't all about you. God didn't put you here to take care of you. God put you here to help some other people. That's what Christianity is. See, so I'm going through a hard time. Go through that hard time the right way because somebody else is going to need the hope that your experience is supposed to develop. And you say, well, why am I going through this? Well, wonder if it was that God wanted you to go through what you're going through so you would reach outside your own little circle and love somebody more than just yourself. And maybe God was, hey, maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe God was trying to grow your hope, thereby growing your love. If you're weak in the hope area, you need to grow. It was David who said this, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Huh. I don't know about you, but people ask me this question sometimes. What's your favorite book of the Bible? Well, my first thought is to say Proverbs because of the book of wisdom. That makes me seem really spiritual. But if you really want to know what my favorite book of the Bible is at midnight, it's Psalms. I run to Psalms more than I run to any book in the Bible because all the comfort that's there. And almost every Christian I know would tell you the same thing. I run to the Psalms because, boy, there's just comfort in there with all the heartache and everything. Do you have any idea how much hope is distributed through the writing of David? Do you have any idea everything David went through? David paid a price to be able to write the hope book. Listen, gather hope because you're to be a distributor of hope. Ask, are you the person that always got to be given hope? Always, there's always just got to be somebody there to give you hope, give you hope, give you hope, give you hope, give you hope. Did you know that what you need to do is you need to learn so you can be the hope giver? The intent in life was not that everybody give you hope all the time. The intent in life was that you were a hope giver. Let me say one other thing because I don't want to skip it. Let me read a verse to you. Romans 5:5 says this, and hope maketh not ashamed. Let me tell you something. Can I recommend to everybody here that you not be ashamed to have hope? Don't be ashamed to have hope. Don't let somebody make you feel ashamed because you have hope in God. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be ashamed of your faith. I was a little mean earlier today. I was in the elevator at the hospital. Man got on the elevator and he had a Bible in his hand. I was standing there. He was standing there. He pushed the button. We were riding up together. I thought, I said, sir, you surely don't believe that book you're carrying. He turned around, got a white look on his face. He said, well, I do. I said, I could tell I was just scaring him to death. I said, well, so do I. I said, I'm a pastor, and I'm glad to see you carry it, and I'm glad you're not ashamed of it. And then he got confident. But for a minute there, I think he thought he might be with a wacko on the elevator. But, you know, I'm glad that he wasn't ashamed. Listen. You know, I would rather have faith and have hope and then maybe something not come to pass than to walk around hopeless all the time. You say, well, I'm not sure I can be healed. Go ahead and have hope anyway. Well, what does it hurt? You say, I owe them so much money, they're going to throw me in jail and throw away the key. Well, Just have hope that God's going to work it out. And don't be ashamed of it. Hey, listen, you have lost family and you're up against something, don't you be ashamed to bring God into it. They'll say, you're never going to solve this problem. You can say to him, yeah, you're right. I guess God will have to do it. Don't be ashamed of that hope. The Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What do you have to lose by believing that God's going to take care of things? And you know, I've experienced that when I step out by faith and experience or express my hope, it pans out most of the time and I come out looking pretty good. And you say, how confident are you when you step out by faith and have all that hope? Sometimes I'm just saying it because it's the right thing to say. I say, what am I supposed to say right here? So it's going to be okay. Well, say it. Okay, it's going to be okay. Did you believe that totally? No. How did it turn out? It was okay. God's bigger than my lack of faith. Listen to this. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. You say, well, preacher, you say good is yet to come. Oh, yeah, Jesus is coming again. Do you have any idea how much good is in our future? The worst thing you're going to experience is in this life. It all gets better from here. Jesus is coming again. We have heaven. We have so many things to look forward to. I'm going to read the main points of my sermon again. What is hope? Hope is a positive expectation. Hope is a belief that something good is yet to come. Secondly, there's no problem so big that God can't solve it. Thirdly, when you get hope, give hope, you're helping people to rest. And somehow hope gives us a reprieve that will calm our spirits so that we can sleep. Number four, giving hope is an expression of love. Number five, we should all ask ourselves, are we hope givers or hope takers? Number six, experience produces hope. Number seven, don't be ashamed of hope. Don't be ashamed to have hope and faith in God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This hope, it's not just all about the burden that you bear. Sometimes it's hope that someone gets saved. Sometimes it's hope that a solution to an issue that you must figure out. Sometimes it's just belief in God using you. Have hope. Do not limit what God can do in regard to your experience. God doesn't have to have your experience to be a miracle-working God. Have hope. We so often say, have faith in God. I believe that. Have hope with God. Who here tonight would say, God has spoken to my heart. I needed the lesson on hope. Would you raise your hands and let God see it? I need hope. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. It won't last long. If you're not saved and you'd like to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Do you need a moment of hope? Hey, let me challenge some of you that have been Christians for a while. Are you a hope giver? Or is it necessary that hope be constantly given to you? Step up, Christian. Grow your hope. I don't just mean for your own sake. For the sake of others. Give people hope. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? Do you need a moment to say, God, help me to grow my hope. Help me to be a hope giver. Help me to share hope. Spread hope. Pray the simple prayer. Oh, God, grow my hope. Grow my hope. Don't be ashamed of having hope. Get the experience, because in the experience, it inflates your hope. It fills your hope fuel tank. Giving hope to someone is an expression of love. I believe there's somebody out there under your influence that desperately needs an expression of love. What is that? Hope. They need hope. Somebody here tonight that's restless because of the issues of life, if you would take a lesson like this on hope and believe there is yet good to come, you might sleep better. When you let all the turmoils of tomorrow steal the hope of your today, you're going to toss and turn. And the weaker your emotions get, the less strong you'll be spiritually in your emotional decisions. If there's a drought going on in your life, might I recommend that you bring the symbol of faith? You say, what is it? My symbol of hope is the umbrella. I believe there are showers of blessings on the horizon. This is the last time through the song. We'll distribute prayer bulletins to those who need them. Have a word of prayer and we'll be on our way. Thank you, folks. Have a seat there if you will.